Express yourself. Express yourself. You don't never need help from nobody else. All you got to do now, express yourself.
That's right. It's time for Express Yourself.
Yay.
Happy Friday. Thanks for tuning in to Katie and Kay. Express Yourself is here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. And it's just after 4 p.m. So here we are. Katie and Kay is your community access radio located in the heart of the Carbondale Creative District. I'm one of your hosts today, Brian Colley, joined by
DJ Kat Hardy. And here on Express Yourself, we feature all things culture and creativity in and around the Roaring Fork Valley, from visual artists and makers to performing artists and musicians and so much more. Here's what's coming up on today's show.
We're going to get some insights into the Year of Poetry and Introspection, a program coming up this spring brought to us by the Ginny Soldner Poetry Collaborative.
Plus, an interview with Matthew Stubbs of the American blues band GA20 playing tomorrow night at Takal. And shout out to Katie and Kay, who's the media sponsor of that performance. We love Katie and Kay.
Woo! But first, a few special guests here in the Katie and Kay studio to talk about the current play at Thunder River Theater Company, K2, directed by Missy Moore and starring Eli Pettet and David Lettingham. That's all coming up here on Express Yourself, so don't touch that dial.
Some people have everything and other people don't. But everything don't mean a thing if it ain't the thing you want. Express yourself. Express yourself.
Get the show on the road. Here in the studio, everybody say hi to Missy Moore, Artistic Director of TRTC.
Hello.
Thunder River Theater Company. We also have Eli Pettet. Hi, Eli.
Wait, hello.
How do you say it?
Pettet.
Pettet.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm going to get it.
like pet a cat.
Pettet.
Pettet.
Pettet. I'm not going to forget. And David Lettingham.
Very good.
I practiced just now after maybe messing it up on the intro. Thanks so much for being here ahead of your second weekend now. Is that right?
That's correct.
Directing and performing in the play K2. Missy, I'd love to have you kind of set the stage, if you will. Give us an overview of what this play is kind of about. And then Eli and David, if you'll add on to that and give a brief introduction of your characters before we dive a little deeper into your backgrounds.
Definitely, yeah. K2 was written by Patrick Myers in the early 80s, and it takes place 27,000 feet up on a ledge in K2, which is the second highest mountain in the world. And this play itself is what I would describe as an existential journey surrounding mortality.
Mm. Wow, okay. Yeah, leave it mysterious. I like that.
A little bit. Come and see it.
Yeah. No, keep the interest going. And Eli and David, just give us a brief introduction of your characters. Who do you play?
So I play the younger of the dynamic duo. My character's name is Taylor, and he is a district attorney, an assistant DA, and he is deeply rooted in the time. That's something that we've explored. Again, this play takes place in the 80s. And Taylor's character is not particularly the kindest of folks. And David and I worked on our relationship, kind of changing this from peers more to a mentor-mentee. And so as the younger climber, I look to Harold as kind of my teacher throughout it.
Harold, yeah. a.k.a. David.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
And Harold is a physicist that works at Lawrence Radiation Lab.
Whoa.
And he's a pretty esoteric guy. He's been part of his whole life journey has been searching for meaning in physics and metaphysics and Einstein and looking for the hidden variable that, you know, will kind of give us all the question that we're all asking is, you know, kind of, is there God? God? Is there a higher intelligence that pervades everything? And when you're up at 27,000 feet, these conversations, they just start flowing up there, right?
as they might actually in real life. That makes sense. You're out there alone. That's the two of you.
Yeah.
And it is just the two of you actors. There's nobody else on stage the whole time, right?
Yeah, correct.
Wow.
Well, there's a mountain.
And there's a mountain built by Taylor Barr and maybe some assistants.
And Eli.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah, and some incredible team of volunteers that came in and lent their talents.
Yeah, an amazing mountain and a lot of snow.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I got a little preview this past week just to come walk through and just check it out. It's very impressive. It looks like a mountain right in your theater.
Yeah, fun little fact. This is actually the largest scenic footprint that we've ever had in the theater, in the history of the theater. So we activate from the basement all the way up to the catwalk.
Okay. Well, Missy, how did your team come to choose this play to bring to Thunder River Theater here in Carbondale? What sorts of things, you know, do you consider as the director of a story like this when you're directing a play?
Yeah, so K2 has been in my world for well over two decades. I did have an opportunity to see it, I want to say about 15 years ago, and I just remember I was very moved by the story itself. And I've always thought that it would be exciting and challenging to take on a play of that magnitude that requires all of the technical elements that are needed to tell the story, and then to be able to find these incredible actors to be able to bring it to life, because Eli in particular has quite the journey in relationship to the mountain. So... and then the other reason why I chose it is I just think it is a show that would appeal to a larger demographic of people in our community. And my hope as an artistic director is that I bring in new patrons to Thunder River to see what we can actually do.
Yeah.
And yeah, as a director, I've just, again, I've been drawn to the story. And as a creative, I love to take on plays that challenge me. And really jumping into the void, into the unknown, and trusting that we will collectively land on our feet.
Yeah. Do you hold auditions for this kind of play, or is this something like you knew Eli and David would fill these roles?
No, we do general season auditions every year. Yeah. And then these two, David definitely, I announced, and he was like, do you know how much I love that play?
And so
that started a very lovely long conversation with us. And then Eli was living in Alaska, but I had the opportunity to direct him a couple years ago in a play called You Can't Take It With You. And I reached out to him and said, would you be interested in putting yourself on tape and possibly coming back to do the show?
Very cool. Yeah, I saw on both of your bios that Missy sent me that you've both been in previous Thunder River Theater plays. I know we can start with Eli, I guess. You've been acting from an early age. I think you were involved with Soul Theater and Jane Gottlieb production since you were maybe 6 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been to the UC Boulder studying film production as well. So it sounds like in your bio, it sounds like you're pivoting a little bit right now from film and you're acting right now. So that's cool. But you're also getting into outdoor emergency medicine.
Yeah.
And you're a nationally registered paramedic. And Missy said you're in Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah.
What's that been like for you kind of with that pivot, but also being part of this play, which is, you know, it sounds like you're climbing mountains all the time now and you grew up here. So you're probably doing the same thing here.
Yeah, absolutely. Theater has always been a very big part of my life. I've kind of told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I used to have a debilitating stutter. I had trouble, you know, even getting one sentence out without stuttering. And This was when I was around 5-6 years old. Mm-hmm. And I met Jane Gottlieb randomly. And she was like, hey, you should try being on stage. Try playing a character doing this. And as soon as I memorized lines and got on stage, my stutter disappeared.
Wow.
And that has really informed my personal journey and how to remedy that. And so theater and stage and acting has always been a very big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little part of me that just can't quite let it go. And I did dip my toe into the professional entertainment industry, and I found that I didn't fit in there very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, I could go to L.A., I could go to New York, neither of those places have mountains. And as much as I love the stage, I love outside more than that. And I found my stride. I worked as a ski patroller at Sunlight Mountain Resort for a little while and got my EMT basic and worked in Valley View ER for a little while.
Wow.
And I found that specifically emergency medicine and medicine in general really fed me as a career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the people. I love the work. It feels good and it's challenging in a way that really feeds me. And so that's kind of where my life took me once I graduated college and everything like that.
Wow.
And yeah, right now I'm just playing around in Anchorage, kind of experimenting with that state. It's hard to find a place that's better than the Roaring Fork Valley. I'm a little spoiled growing up here, but I think I'll be back. This place has my heart.
Well, are you getting involved with any play productions out there in Alaska yet, or are you kind of feeling it out?
Not much. I've been in paramedic school for the last 2 years. I just graduated in December. And that has taken 100% of my time.
Yeah.
Sure. But now that I am going to be moving into that career, I'm going to have a little bit more free time. And I definitely would like to dip my toe in up there because there is quite a thriving arts community in Alaska. You know, there's a really long winter that you got to get through.
Yeah.
And
the arts are good for wintertime.
Exactly. And that's when the arts thrive up there.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely excited to experiment up there a little bit.
Well, it's so cool that you're here in Carbondale being part of this play too and having that time with this team here. So can't wait to see the play. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to see it soon. David, wow, I was reading through your extensive, thorough list. I believe it was your resume I was reading. Hopefully I didn't get that wrong. You've been in things like Broadway, off-Broadway. You performed in London, a handful of roles in television shows like One Life to Live, The Bold and the Beautiful, Law and Order even. I saw that you're originally from right here in the Roaring Fork Valley, though. You were born in Aspen, is that right?
No, I was born in San Diego. We moved here when I was in sixth grade.
Okay,
and
so early on, then.
And my family my mom bought a little Victorian house in the 70s and turned it into a bed and breakfast. And we had that bed and breakfast in our family for 47 years.
Oh, wow.
Called the Snow Queen Lodge. And door, my mom was an identical twin, and her identical twin owned the place next door called the Little Red Ski House.
Whoa.
So I grew up here and then didn't really do much acting. And then I went to CU Boulder, try to figure out what I wanted to do.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also have this huge love for the mountains. And I was a climber and a mountaineer when I was younger, doing a lot of that stuff. And I've always been split between that. That's been a really interesting combination of how do you get the nature, but the city is where, you know, you have to be if you want to be a professional actor, pretty much.
Got it.
And, you know, I decided to get a BFA in acting at CU Boulder, and then I went and got an MFA in acting from UC San Diego, and then went to LA, and then started working, and then moved to New York and did TV and stuff like that, and then got the call to come back to Aspen to run our bed and breakfast.
Okay.
And decided to do that, and then worked a lot at Theater Aspen, started this thing called the Aspen Fringe Festival,
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's been going on for quite a while.
Yeah, and we've done some collaborations with Thunder River, and that's been really fun. And I did my first show with Thunder River 2 years ago in Endgame by Samuel Beckett.
Yeah,
and
I saw that one.
That was a really, really exciting, challenging play and role. And it was really fun. So when I saw this play, I had, interesting, when I was in grad school, I had an opportunity to do a thesis, one-person show, mm-hmm. for our final thesis, mm-hmm. and we got to create our own play. I took a bunch of different monologues and things from different, you know, and one of them happened to be the monologue from K2, the end, because I loved it so much.
Whoa.
And so here we are,
yeah.
and I finally get to do the role that I've... that's been on my, you know, bucket list for decades.
The bucket list. And I also saw that you're dedicating this play to a fallen friend, old climbing partner. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so a real good close friend of mine, Lathrop Strang, and they've been in the valley for many, many years
up on the Strang Ranch.
Yep. And I climbed a bunch of peaks with Lathrop, and we did some climbing in Boulder. He was going to see you, and we'd go up Boulder Canyon and we did the Grand Teton together and a few others. And his fear level was much lower than mine. Right. I was like, no, I'm not. I'm like, come on, let's go do this. Yeah. And unfortunately, he was skiing one of the laundry chutes on Sopris.
Right.
And he fell. And by the time Mountain Rescue got to him, it was too late.
Yeah,
and it was sad, and yet it was what he loved to do, and it fascinates me. That's part of what this play is. It's this calling of to do this is mm-hmm. it's a really interesting calling, mm-hmm. and you know, so part of the thing that drew me to this play was that.
Yeah, I think that's going to resonate with a lot of people that live in this valley. You know, we're around big mountains and people go for it and there's high stakes and things happen out there. And sometimes we get to come back and tell the story and sometimes we don't, but if we're doing what you love out there, like you said, then maybe that's part of it and we can honor that too. Wow. Well, I'm going to run out of time here, but I'd love to hear about how to get tickets, how, this is going through March 1st. Or
that's correct.
So?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can just go to www.thunderrivertheater.com. You can get tickets online, or you can call our box office at 970-963-8200. And the lovely Emily Henley will be happy to assist you with your ticket purchase.
Wonderful. And it's Thursday through Sunday each weekend?
That is correct. Okay. And on Thursdays, it's Pay What You Can.
Oh, nice.
On Fridays, it's Bring a Friend Friday. So the more friends you bring, the larger of a discount you get.
Whoa.
And then
what if I brought 100 friends?
Right? We'll chat, Brian. Okay. We will chat. You can buy out the house, my friend. Yeah. And then Sundays we do talkbacks following the show with the cast and the creative team.
Okay.
So, yeah, there are a lot of opportunities. And we also do a prologue series 15 minutes before curtain in which Kayla Henley, our dramaturg, talks about interesting facts surrounding K2 the Mountain.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Missy. Thank you, Eli. Thank you, David. Can't wait to see the play. It sounds like it's just going to be a really beautiful but intense. But
it's intense, remarkable. And it's got some humor in it, too. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Humor's good.
Some levity.
Humor's good. Again, the website for tickets, Missy?
ThunderRiverTheater.com.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys, for your time, and good luck tonight. Do you say break a leg for play? Mm-hmm.
Break a leg.
Break a leg.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you.
Brian.
Start to see the colors, filling in with intricate splashes by all the brothers. Michelle is on the joint, you mean Miss Indigay or cello? No wonder why the hump inside the joint is feeling ghetto. A medal or award should be given to these heroes for their efforts of revealing and bringing forth the feeling. I'm reeling, poetic, I say, a great proportion. I hope my little nuance is correct for this distortion, but I say why I say, and who is to say? Cause Roy makes the tune what it is today. Rhythmically, we in this lake of jeans. Know what I mean? It's only right that me and Mr. Wright, we hail from Queens. The overtone of funk is being driven by the students. The benevolence of Roy issue me this jurisprudence. To speak a rhyme, put it in a hipper term. I'm just a humble little germ, just a hipper version. Poetic, I mean truly indeed how every seed can sprinkles with the essence of life to form our breed. Think about it, sweetie, while we give this to the needy. The musical expression is important for progression. Never stop learning lessons, and neither should y'all. Before we all stand, must acknowledge a fall. Before we get the bounce, we got to reach for the ball. Before we ghetto show, we had to get to a crawl. Check it out now, and don't you dare. Bobby Timmons did a joint called That Dare. Check it out now, and do you do?
Ronnie Foster did a joint called Mr. Groove. Check it out now, this is how it go. Check it out with my man Roy Hargrove. To the
hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Apple Tree Cafe. Roy Hargrove on stage.
Okay, welcome back to Express Yourself. We were just listening to the song Poetry, because next on deck we have Lonnie Berge, and he's going to be talking about some poetry. Lonnie, are you there?
I am here, Kat. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on air with us today. So for the listeners, why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself and let them know your role at, how do we say it, the Soldner Center?
Yes, the Soldner Center. Yes, I'm on the board of the Soldner Center, which is a legacy development there at Aspen in the Roaring Fork Valley that was developed by Paul and Jenny Soldner over 40 years as their home. And today we're left with this wonderful, beautiful, peaceful piece of property that we are utilizing for a variety of workshops, including the Jenny Soldner Poetry Collaborative that will be starting on May 29th. This is our fourth year. We're doing poetry programming in our second year under the auspices of the Jenny Soldner Poetry Collaborative. We decided to organize this and to highlight Jenny's role as a listener, as a person of interested in writing, and she often attended poetry events as they lived there in Aspen. And so we really wanted to honor her legacy by having these very unique poetry events there at the Soldner Center.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And we can hear you in the studio, but we're making sure that the listeners, we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty with the board. So just give us a moment.
Okay.
And so for the listeners right now, the poetry is a year-long poetry experience. And
yes.
And it's mostly remote, but it is in person for a certain amount of time. What are the dates that it's in person in Aspen?
May 29th to June 1st. This year we've expanded 1 day, so it's 4 days from a Friday noon to Monday noon, and it will be all at the Soldner Center there in Aspen.
That's awesome.
And then it will be followed up by 11 months of Zoom sessions with Heather. This year, Heather will be leading that portion there at Aspen and will be joined by James Cruz, who your listeners no doubt have heard of, well-known poet and writer and thinker. And so we're thrilled to have both of them there together at the Soldner Center.
And what level would you say, because how many participants is it? Is it 12 that you guys are accepting 12, into the program?
Yes.
And
yes,
is it full, or is there more spots available?
There are openings yet, and the deadline to apply is March 1st, so we still have a few openings, and we would love to have anybody really at any level. And it's someone who's written, just starting to write. We've had people in the first cohort who already have books published, and we have people who've never shared any of their poetry with anybody before. So it's a wide variety, and so anybody from high school up who would like to experience this kind of community in their writing life, please apply. We would love to have you.
And what's the time commitment, and is there a cost associated with it?
The time commitment would be the 4 days at the center. All the meals will be included. We kind of make it a big deal about eating together, and so we're sharing a lot things during those 4 days. And then beyond that, we meet 2 hours once a month, and then an additional time of 1 hour. So it was 3 hours a month via Zoom throughout the rest of the 12-month period.
That's awesome. And so what is your, you know, you have like a star team to host this. So what is your specific role, and like what makes you feel most passionate about this program?
Well, what makes me most passionate about is all of my years of experience of being at the Solner Center. The Solners are a part of the extended family of my wife, and she and I knew Paul and Jenny very well, and Stephanie. So we have a very big affinity for it. In addition to that, I'm a poet, and so I went through this first cohort, so I'm very excited, and I will be with the cohort coming on as well. So I'm excited for two or three reasons there. And then I think this, the whole idea of having Jan, my wife Jan, and I are both on the board of the Solner Center. So we're heavily involved with the Solner Center in many ways.
That's awesome. And how long have you been associated with them?
Well, the Solner Center has been going now for, we're at roughly going on 7, 8, 10 years now, but we hadn't had a lot of a programming. So the programming really started up about 5 years ago with tours. And then we added some small workshops, and we've just increased it every year. So I've been heavily involved, especially with the poetry thing, with part of it.
And I love to write poetry. I've never published or shared mine, but I feel like it's one of the ways that I can process my emotions, especially during hard times. And right. And so I think that your programming is impeccable timing with the world that we're in and how much we're facing as a human family. Can you speak to the way that poetry helps you alchemize your feelings or sort of the safety, you know, of the container to help people process? Because I'm guessing that you all get pretty deep in some of these sessions. So I want to hear a little bit about, you know, the depth of feeling and how we handle that and how we create safe containers for those who participate.
Well, I think, first of all, we start off with a community. That's why we start with coming together. We don't just start as some sort of a talking head on a screen. We come together and we learn to know each other. We eat together. We talk together. We sit and write together. So for those 4 days, we're very intense. And that has created a community that really is wonderful for a poet who often writes, you know, by ourselves, or we're doing things thinking about ourselves, but to actually have a group that we can share with them and that we can read what we've written without a fear of exposure, without fear of, you know, any condescension. We're all learning together. So that's the beauty of this for me. In poetry, in a wider way, I think it has given me connection. It's given me insight. It's really given me hope in a time that is, hope's a little hard to find right now. So, you know, I'm taking it wherever it comes.
Right. And that's why I feel like hope often is in art. All the different forms of art is where we can, you know, land and feel connected to other humans and realize that we have this shared experience, you know, through artistic expression. So I was curious if you had any poetry of your own that you would like to share today, or I have the After Despair by James Cruz here too, but I figured I definitely wanted to share some poetry with the listeners based on what you want to share.
Yeah, if you have one for James there, that would be great. If you have one that you have chosen.
Sure. Well, I'll read it, and then I want you to... So we're going to pretend like we're in a session, you know, and that I'm sharing and that I'm sharing a poem. And then I want you to respond to my poem so the listeners can get a little like preview or micro view of what kind of feedback or, you know, that they might expect if they were sharing. So if you'll play along, that's the game for now.
I'll play along.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks for playing with me. All right. So it's After Despair. Yeah. Little by little, I feel myself called back to the world, holes left by the woodpecker in a dead tree console me with their evidence of another living thing seeking what it needs to survive. And mushrooms that push up through layers of leaves like huts hastily built against the coming cold. Blade of moon hung on the nail of a star in the night. And the neighbor I pull over to greet the next morning. How she reaches out to rub my arm through the open window. By James Cruz.
Well, what that says to me is that there may be mighty forces of power and of negativity out in the world that are doing nobody any good. But if I just take a moment and feel the touch of my neighbor or watch the natural world around me, I know that there is goodness. And I'm reminded of a line by Mark Nepo, who said, "Everything is so beautiful, and I am so sad. I am so sad, and everything is so beautiful." I guess that's what it says for me.
I love that. And I guess with all art, you know, from you as a poet and in this for a long time, does it matter if someone interprets it the way you intended, or is the interpretation, you know, up to each own individual? And like, does each individual poet want people to get what they meant? Or do you feel like in that community, it's sort of open to interpretation?
I think in this community, we're very open. And I would say accepting. I would say the critique here is what I would say uplifting critique. We're not here to tear every bit and piece apart. What we're looking to do is to uplift the spirit so that poetry can really blossom out of it. Mm. And I think that's what we mean when we're sharing our writing and listening to each other.
Mm-hmm. And are there exercises or like breathing or drills? Like, I'm very curious, you know.
Like
to get into the mode, like I'm historically an athlete, you know, and musician and stuff. And so like there's, you know, to get in the zone, as we say, is there a poetry zone, and how do you get there?
Well, everybody finds their own way, I think. Heather, I know, will have some exercises for us to do, even to sit down and just draw around our hand, just be in touch with our own hand as a way. Or maybe she will help us write. If we're not coming up with an idea, write three words that mean joy to you. Write two things that you've smelled lately. You know, I mean, just start making lists of things or emotions or experiences, and pretty soon you'll have a poem.
Mm-hmm.
And when it will happen.
Yeah, it's learning, I guess, to become present. And I feel like a lot of poetry and art is from the art of noticing. And so it sounds like that's the goal of sort of those exercises, is bring you into that present and noticing, whether it's noticing the internal landscape or noticing things outside of yourself.
Yeah, presence is about the first word that gets used. We have to be present. Mm-hmm. And if we're present, a lot of the anxieties that we feel can be set aside for a bit if we can be present with something else, even just for a while.
Right.
And it opens up our minds to express it, and people will be surprised. We often are given, say, 7 minutes to write a poem. And I would have said a few years ago, I cannot possibly do that.
Mm.
We always succeed. We always have poems.
I love that.
So it's a wonderful experience.
And Brian, my co-host here, is a multifactorial, multi-talented artist. I want to know if Brian has anything to say about do you do poetry? Is that like something that you're hiding from us we don't know about?
Hi there, Lonnie.
Hi.
I I write some songs for our band, Sweet Jessup and the Dirty Buckets. So there's some poetry there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to see how that kind of evolves. Sometimes on the spur of the moment, you don't know where the song's going, but the words just kind of lead you. And I'm sure that's a similar experience for some poets.
Get into the bucket zone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Oh, goodness. Well, I want to let the audience know where they can find information about participating in the program, if there's scholarships available, or, you know, where to go. And then if I think there's a public, like in May or something, there's something that's open to the public where we could, those of us who don't get the one of the 12 spots, we can still sort of participate and witness. Well, tell our listeners about that.
Okay, first of all, if there's a person that's interested, there's no cost to apply. Simply go to soldercenter.com to events, and there you will see the Jenny Solder Poetry Collaborative for this year, and they click on a box, and it will give them all the process in terms of applying. There is a fee of $1,800 to do this, but there is scholarships available. So we do not want to let finances stand in the way of anybody who would like to commit to doing this. Mm-hmm. So please apply if you're interested at all. Yes, the other part of this year is that we're going to be doing a free public reading at the Aspen Chapel. So we will have this wonderful, beautiful environment, and James and Cruz and Heather Swan will read and probably talk a little bit about their writing and share their poetry for that evening. So it'll be 7 o'clock on Saturday evening, May 30th, at the Aspen Chapel. It's
awesome.
So
May 30th.
Everyone as well.
Yeah. So if you can't do the program, go ahead and mark your calendar for that May 30th if you want to come witness this beautiful experience. And you said soldercenter.com?
Yes. soldnercenter.com, and then click on events, and it'll be very clear.
Awesome. Well, is there anything else? We're coming up to the end of our interview. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners, or anything we didn't cover today that you'd want people to know about the program?
Well, we're excited. We think it brings a wonderful, unique opportunity to the Valley. And so we're really hoping people will apply. And to your co-host there, we do have a music therapy for veterans workshop that's actually a couple of weeks before this.
Oh, very cool.
So if there's any veterans who are listening here who have thought about writing, why also go to the same place to events, and they will see that music therapy for veterans. It's a separate process.
Yes. And I'm actually having Natalie Spears on my Current Ritual podcast beginning of March to talk about that program and to promote it. So thank you for foreshadowing the next next segment for Current Ritual. Well, goodness.
There's a lot of exciting things.
Totally. Well, thank you so much for all the work you've done and bringing art and guidance around art and all the different levels of art to our community. And we just appreciate you so much. And so you heard it here first on Katie and Kay, that if you want to be part of this 12-month cohort, that you go to soldercenter.com and go to that events tab. So Lonnie, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Peace.
Yeah. Take care. So what? So you were just listening to the band GA20, who will be playing at Takah tomorrow. That was a song by My Lonesome. And we have Matthew Stubbs by his Lonesome. Matthew, tell
me.
How
you doing?
Yes, there you are. We got it going on. Thank you for calling in. And because where are you tonight? You have a show tonight somewhere else, not in the Valley.
We're up. Yeah, we played Fort Collins last night, and then tonight we're up in Winter Park.
Okay, how was the show last night?
It was great. Packed. Good turnout.
Yeah, because you hail from Boston, is that right?
We band started in Boston, but we all live in Providence, Rhode Island these days.
Okay, so how are you liking Colorado?
We love it. We love it. We come here about once a year and always have a good time.
Excellent. Well, GA20, I looked you guys up, and you've won a lot of awards and are really prolific blues musicians. So if you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, kind of this expansion of your music and any highlights along, you know, the past couple years, please do share with our listeners.
Yeah, the band started in Boston in 2018, and we've put out 5 records since then. They've all been with a great record label called Coal Mine Records, out of Loveland, Ohio, which is just out of Cincinnati. And we've been lucky enough that I think 3 or 4 of the records debuted at number 1 on the Billboard Blues charts. And we're lucky. We tour most of the year and love being on the road and playing blues music.
That's amazing. And it's 3 members of the band, is that right?
Yeah, we're a trio. So I play guitar. Cody Nilsson plays guitar and sings, and Josh Kiggins is the drummer.
Excellent. And they weren't able to be with us today, so I appreciate that you took the time to be here. And so let's talk a little bit about your name, GA20. Because I was like, because when I first saw it, I immediately thought, like, general admission, like $20, like that's a good deal, like, you know, and I had no idea. So I looked it up, and now I'm informed on the truth of what it was, but I was totally ignorant to this. So tell our listeners what the GA20 is about.
It's an old guitar amplifier that was made in the 50s by Gibson. So Gibson amplifier, that's the GA. And then the 20 is just the size of the amp. They made all these different models in the 50s, different sizes. So we were using GA20s when we started the band, and that's what we record with. And all cool band names have already been taken, so we went with GA20.
I love that. I wondered, because I saw that the GA20 amplifier was only manufactured between 1950 and 1961. So I was curious if those years, if like when it was manufactured had significance for you guys as well, or if that was just like random.
Well, yeah, I mean, the 50s and early 60s, you know, guitar amplifiers, they had a sound, and, you know, all the records we listened to, a lot of the guitar players were playing amps like that. So that's why we gravitated, you know, to it in the beginning, to use them for recordings to get that sound.
Got it. And on your tour right now, are you playing just new stuff? Are you doing a mix? Like, what tends to be your set list or your vibe as you've been traveling around since you have had so many award-winning albums?
Yeah, well, we had a new record just come out this past December called Orphans. So we're doing a lot of songs off that, but we do a mix of songs from every record. So, you know, it's a full set. So you get a bit of every record and a lot of the new record.
So we played for that intro music, the By My Lonesome. And I've listened to a lot of your songs. And I mean, they really do range sort of in the vibes that you're holding, even though it's all under sort of the category of blues. So can you tell us a little bit about By My Lonesome, how it was written, what the vibe, what it's about?
Yeah, that was off our 3rd record, Crackdown. And it's just a 1950s rock and roll type vibe. You know, a lot of early rock and roll came from blues music. Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, and they're huge influences on us. So that's just kind of a song where we took inspiration from, you know, songwriters and musicians like that, and that's our take on it.
Nice. And that's fun that you just named Bo Diddley, and that, because when I listen to that song, that's, you know, where my mind and heart went was to some of those artists. And then one that I want to play later, you know, once we're finished with our interview, I really like Easy on the Eyes. And I want to hear a little bit about if there's any other bands that inspired that track.
Yeah, I kind of came in with the guitar line for that when we were writing it, and it was influenced pretty heavy from Howlin' Wolf, who's a really great Chicago blues guy from the 50s. He had a lot of songs that were just based on one chord and would almost like kind of like a hypnotic, no chord changes, just stays right there. So that was kind of the idea when I came in with that riff, and you know, we're not Howlin' Wolf, so it ended up sounding a little bit different, but that was the inspiration. That's also on that Crackdown record.
Would you be mad at me if I told you that I thought it sounded kind of like the Black Keys when I was listening to it?
No, I mean, that's great. They're a great band, and I'm sure they listen to a lot of the same stuff we listen to, you know?
Similar influences. Well, are you up for playing any live music? I know you don't have your two other bandmates, but I'm kind of putting you on the spot to see if, because you're the singer, right?
No, I'm the guitarist.
You're the guitarist. I thought you were the singer.
I wouldn't be able to do it right now because I don't sing.
Oh, darn, man. Well, that's okay. I guess I won't make you sing since that's normally not your thing.
All right.
But so tomorrow, have you ever played at Takah before?
No, it's our first time.
First time? Cool.
This is our first time, yeah.
Nice. Have you been to the Roaring Fork Valley or any of the other venues here?
No, it's our first time in that area. We've played Denver a lot through the years, but never got over towards Aspen yet.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would want to talk about to let people know what to expect from your show? If they'll be sitting or standing, dancing, what to expect?
Well, I've never been there, so I don't know. I assume there's some seating and some standing and dancing, but we play blues music, but we try to have a high energy show, you know, get everybody moving. So, and we have our good friend Tony Holiday opening the show with his band, and they're great, so make sure people get there early to catch him.
Okay, and Tony Holiday, what kind of music is that?
He's blues. He's blues music, based kind of out of Memphis, Tennessee, and he's great.
Wonderful. And then after you leave Colorado, what is on the agenda after that?
Well, we head home for a couple weeks, and then we fly to Europe, and we're going to go to play France, the Netherlands, Belgium, and Germany for a few weeks.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. And have you done European tours in the past?
Oh, yeah. We go about 3 times a year.
That's amazing. We've been going for years now. It's like, it's one of those things, do you have like a huge following over there? And Americans like myself are just like getting clued in to how awesome you guys are.
We do well. Yeah, we definitely have a good following over there, for sure.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, for the listeners, you can get tickets at takaw.com. That's T-A-C-A-W. .org. Thank you, Brian. So takaw.org. Go and get your tickets and the show's tomorrow night. Do you know what time doors are?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, all that information is online. But if you haven't listened, I'm going to play one more song so you can hear Easy on the Eyes. And if you don't have any plans tomorrow, you should definitely get out to Takah. So anything else before we let you get to soundcheck or whatever else you got going on tonight?
No, it's good. I just hope to see everybody at the show.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Again, it's GA20, and you can catch them tomorrow, Saturday, at Takah. Thanks,
right.
Matthew.
Thank you very much.
Yep, take care.
Oh,
Well, hey, thanks for keeping things tuned here to KDNK on Express Yourself. Thank you, Kat, and talking with the GA20 band. That's cool. They got a good sound.
I know. Can you see the Black Keys with this song?
I can.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
No, I think that was fair. That's
I'm not wrong.
No. Yeah. Well, we thought we'd go through some calendar events, things coming up this weekend, tonight and tomorrow. I also wanted to give a quick shout out to the Carbondale Arts Valley Visual Art Show People's Choice Award winners. We posted that today, and I won third place, if you can believe that. I got enough votes to make an award. I've never won an award, I don't think, with that show.
Really?
I made a painting about a hot dog party.
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm in it.
Yeah.
I'm in it. My like iconic.
Yeah. There's a few
like
people.
Orange jacket and that floppy hat. So thank
yeah,
you for painting
third.
Me.
Second place went to Elise Hillbrand, who has a marble sculpture of Ursa Major and Minor. It's like two bears.
Nice.
It's really cute. She made it in the Marble Symposium last summer, I think. First place goes to Megan George, who is a scratchboard artist. She has a image of a buffalo that she
that was really beautiful,
one line by line, yes, into this board. So congrats to the winners. You can still see this show. It's up through next Thursday. Carbondale Arts Gallery is open weekdays from 10 to 5. Go check it out, mm-hmm, and support the 76 artists in there.
Yes. And Michael Stout of Carbondale Arts has and Lindsay have an exhibit,
yeah,
at the Art Base in Basalt,
yeah,
till March 6th.
Yeah, up for a couple weeks still. Yeah, Creative Destruction. Very cool art.
I haven't gotten to see it yet.
Oh, really?
I want to go. I missed it, but I want to take George and
It takes some time. There's some layers to peel back, but I think theartbase.org is the website for that.
Awesome. And there is a lot going on, so go ahead and dive in.
Where do we start? Something that's not on there that you remembered that's happening.
The American Legion. Yeah, if you don't have plans, it starts at 5 o'clock. So right when we wrap our show, I might head on over. But we have Olivia the Bard, who is a frequent flyer of Express Yourself.
Yeah, and Bridger. They were on together playing music.
They're over there.
That's 5 to 7. Okay,
mm-hmm,
cool.
And I think they're doing like a $10 beer and burger deal. So you can't
have food there. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Huh.
That's what Olivia told me.
I've never been to the Legion, so.
Might be time to start.
Yeah, could be a new thing. Also today at 6 p.m., Devika Gurung. Oh, gosh.
It's okay. It's Hamilton's partner.
Hamilton's partner?
Gurung.
Yes. She's serving up her Nepalese cooking at the Cocoa Club. That's here in Carbondale, starting at 6 p.m. today. So that's an hour away. Go get your Nepalese on at the Cocoa Club.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Something in Redstone.
Yeah, there's an open mic in Redstone. Joy and Wild are hosting another open mic night. So I didn't even know they were doing that.
Yeah,
but it's
I didn't know.
I know. It's at the library from 6 to 8 p.m.
Wait.
So. Pickens County Library?
Pickens County Library. Whoa. Okay.
Do they have one of those in Redstone?
Isn't that in Aspen?
Okay, y'all.
Pickens County. I mean, they're in the same
county. So, yeah, y'all are going to have to choose your own adventure tonight because there's too much going on.
It's from 6 to 8. Pam and Dan perform music at Townline Trucks here in Carbondale, the new food truck court, starting at 6 p.m. Looks like there's some stuff going on at Steve's Guitars. Aspiring youth from Colorado College present a two-band concert at Steve's Guitars starting at 8 p.m. That should be cool. Aspiring youth, way to go.
Yes, and Typical Ghosts, a local jam band, is up at Rock Island in Snowmass Village at 9 p.m. tonight. So
late night.
Yeah, if you're getting crazy, you can be like at the Legion at 5, eat some food at Cocoa Club at 6.
Yeah.
You can catch Steve's, and then you can go have your nightcap up at Snowmass for Typical Ghosts if you're having, if you're really
Big
wanting
night.
To get out there. And
we're going to try and have Typical Ghost on the show next week, so stay tuned for that.
Yay.
A couple things on, well, there's so many things.
I know. Well, we have to give a shout out. McMission Presents will be up at Sunlight Resort tomorrow, Saturday, for onesie day. So if you have a Sunlight Pass, get up there. Everybody's going to be in their onesies, and there's going to be live music, DJs, prizes from 1:30 to 4:30.
Looks like there's going to be snow too, huh?
Yes. It was snowing. I mean, it better be snowing on Sunlight. If it's snowing hammering us, I hope Sunlight got some snow too.
Yeah. They for sure did. I have a friend who's Dion Holt. She's an artist up in the Redstone Marble area. She's leading an art class at the Art Base. That's tomorrow starting at 9. It's like an all-day class exploring the versatility of gouache. You heard of gouache? Gouache is a...
What is gouache?
It's
it paint?
It's paint. It's very much like watercolor, but instead of having transparent layers going down the paper, they're opaque.
Oh.
So a little bit like acrylic.
It sounds less forgiving than watercolor.
It's more forgiving because you can layer and go back into the dark areas with lighter things. Watercolor, you can't do that.
I'm glad you know that.
So check that out, the Art Base. Dion's an awesome artist.
We have to mention that.
The Contra Dance, you guys. You guys been to a Contra Dance?
I went, and they're always, I have George, and he is not down with the Contra Dance. I tried to get him. He did like one of the, George is my son, for any listeners, he's 8. And I tried to get him to participate, and he was just not about it. And so we had to leave early.
There are kids there, though.
There are some kids who participate. Yeah. And so I'm going to keep encouraging him. We tried, but it's at the community school in Carbondale, and it's wonderful. And bring water. And know that it is a workout. Like, I was very impressed with the cardio requirement of the program.
I've been a handful of times, and every time I need to remind myself to bring water and also, like, bring layers because I get warmed up and I get dizzy because you're spinning, you're doing do-si-dos and spin your partner around.
Yeah, and you'll get sweaty. So, yes, bring layers. Be ready to be hot. Wear something cool and then layers and water.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have a partner. You get partnered up, and you don't have to know what to do. There's a caller who tells you, but that is, and thank you, Natalie Spears, for kind of leading the charge on that one.
Yeah, the Wood Nickel String Band. So it's at the Carbondale Community School. Beginners can catch a lesson at 7 p.m. or you can start at 7:30.
Yep.
That's it for us as Express Yourself.
Thanks Kat,
for being here.
Yeah, thanks,
we'll see you next week. Happy Friday.